This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. James wrote his letter to a scattered church around 15 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Many of the early Christians were Jewish, and when they scattered, they likely gathered with other Jews. This led to a challenge of favoritism between Jewish and Gentile believers. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will conclude a sermon titled Faith and Favoritism from James chapter 2. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Can you think of anybody that Jesus described as loving to have and receive honor? He was shown to the chief seat, right, in the congregation. Jesus said, there are people who love to be shown honor. They love to receive respect. They expect and even demand that they be given the chief and honorable seat at a banquet or in a church or in a synagogue. They insist that you call them by their title, Rabbi, right? If you want sort of a picture of this, I don't know. You may not be familiar with it, but our family's been watching a Christian series called The Chosen. And in The Chosen, in the city of Capernaum, there are a group of these men, and you can tell they are better dressed than anybody. They are the religious leaders, and they are very good at looking like servants when the real high leadership shows up. They are so good about serving and being deferential and making sure the important people know that they're serving, but how do they treat everybody else? And what do they demand from everybody else? And so Jesus looks at these people and he says, let me tell you, these people, you can recognize what's in their heart because of what's coming out of their mouth. They get angry when you don't call them the right title. They demand to be seated at the right place. They want honor and respect. And one of these people has just come into the church service. I personally think this is a Jewish religious leader in one of those towns that has heard that somebody's talking about Messiah and they want to come in. And as soon as they come in, these people are going, wow, we have an important religious person in our midst, and we better give to him what he expects because we have cravings of our own. He craves something that we can give him, and we're going to give him what he wants because we have cravings of our own. We want him to be on our side. We want him to be able to do what we need him to do. We're going to find out some more about this man here in just a minute. Now, who is the poor man? The word that James uses for the poor man is actually a very intentional word, and he's wanting to make sure you pick up on this. It's the same word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount when he said this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This term is actually talking about someone who is a true believer and a true follower and someone who is truly humble in the sight of God. And this person has come into the service and he gets a very different reception. He is ignored and actually he is dishonored. Now, folks, honestly, this is not about whether or not you have money or cars or clothes. There are many, many rich people that God has entrusted wealth to who are humble and who are poor in spirit, and they would actually occupy the place of this brother that we're talking about. And I just want to make sure, because sometimes when you read James, it can almost become like it's a problem to have this world's goods. And that's certainly not what James is talking about here. He's talking about what happens to us when we react to somebody who has those things. That's what he's really talking about, all right? And so that brings us then to the third thing, and that is this. James is now going to give them a very patient explanation of why this is such a problem. Look at verse 5. The first thing he says is, listen. Remember in chapter 1, he said, be swift to hear. He's going to go back to that now. He's going to say, you need to listen, and he's going to point you to the scripture. He's going to tell you something from the Word of God. And here's what he's going to say. In essence, let me sum it up this way. He's going to say, when you operate this way, when you let your craving for what this wealthy man can give you, what this man with influence and honor and status can give you, affect the way you serve him and affect the way you serve a brother, then you have dishonored the one that God has honored. And so this is what he says. Listen up in verse 5. My beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith? The person you dishonored is someone who loves God. You can see that at the end of verse 5. He's receiving a kingdom that God promised to give to those who love him. So this person is someone who loves God. He's someone that God has chosen. He's someone who's truly rich in the realm that really matters, the kingdom of God, and he has been granted high status and honor as a ruling heir in the kingdom where Jesus Christ is the glorious Lord. In other words, you just dishonored a friend of God. You took a friend of God and you treated him shamefully. So let's go back to our illustration. That guy in the truck, he does exactly what you told him to do. He takes his truck and all its tools, and he goes and parks in the farthest corner away from everybody else, and you don't see him again. But a couple hours later, the owner comes out, and this guy is with him, and the owner has his arm around him, and he's walking up to you, and he's saying goodbye to him, and just before he says goodbye to him, he hugs him and he kisses him on the cheek. And that guy goes up the stairs to the very back corner, starts his truck up, and 5 minutes later he rumbles out, and the owner stands there and he's waving like this. And he turns away, and just as he's going away, he goes, "That was my son. That was my son. He's working at home today. He's doing stuff, projects at his house, but we always have lunch, and he never misses. And so I told him to come on his work clothes, and he came in, and you're sitting there going, oh, my word. You just got the picture that James is trying to help you see. This poor man that came into your church that you said, look, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Hope you have a great time here. By the way, go sit over there and just, you know, that's a good place for you. And all the while, you're giving all this fawning attention to this person that has wealth and honor. You picked the wrong person. If you were going to pick somebody, you picked the wrong person. You picked an enemy of God. You actually honored someone who dishonors God. You see, what do you mean by that? Well, notice what he says here in the text. You have picked someone who God has dishonored, or who's dishonoring God. You have dishonored the poor man. And then he says in verse 6, are not the rich ones who persecute you and drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Now go back to who we think the rich man is. Here is a Jewish religious leader with all of this honor and all of this glory, and he comes because he's eager to hear what you have to say about the Messiah. And what you have to say about the Messiah is this: his name is Jesus. And he was born in Bethlehem, and he arose and was raised in Nazareth, and then he was crucified on a Roman court. What do you think that religious leader is going to do next? Unless the Spirit of God opens his eyes, he is going to stand up and he's going to accuse you of blasphemy, because this is not who Messiah is. that Jesus is not the Son of God. He is not the Messiah. He was crucified on a Roman cross. And then that religious leader is going to spend the rest of his time and the rest of his energy, and he's going to use all of his influence to persecute you. And by the time you get to James chapter 5, that's exactly what happened. These people are dragging you into courts. They are withholding your wages, and they're taking away your homes. And James says, that's the person that you chose to honor. And the reason that you did that is because of an evil motive in your heart. Now, here's where we have to step back and realize I can't see your heart and you can't see my heart. But God can't. And James, under inspiration, is looking at his readers and he is saying to them, this is going on in your heart. You do have an evil motive. You are making distinctions about how you serve this person and how you serve that person. And what's driving all of that is what you see and what you want. You want something that you perceive this wealthy man can give you, and you don't think that poor brother has the ability to do a whole lot for you. And so while I'm not going to ignore him, and I'm glad he's here, and I'm certainly not going to cast him out, you go over there, and you stand there, and may the Lord bless you today. And I'm going to give my attention over here to make sure this man has the best experience possible because he has something that I want. Now, here's what I want to ask you this morning. Remember I said I want you to turn the default mode to this. James is talking to me. James is talking to me. So is this going on in your heart? Do you make decisions about who you serve based on what you think they can give you? Do you spend the time you spend with the people you spend and not the people you choose not to spend with because of things you want that this group can give you, that this group in this kingdom has no ability to give you? You love these people. Hey, these people, you know, they're brothers in Christ, and we care about them, and I'm glad you're here, but actually, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is what James is going after here in our lives. And here's what he says in verses 8 through 11. He's going to come to this really convicting revelation. He says, when you act this way, when you show partiality, you are sinning against the royal law of Christ's kingdom. All right, so this is now the fourth idea. There's a convicting revelation, and it goes like this. If you really are fulfilling the kingdom law, that's the idea of royal law. If you really are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, what is that? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But before you just walk away thinking, okay, I'm good, I am loving my neighbor as myself. If you show partiality, you are committing sin and you have been convicted by the law as a transgressor. James says, really, if we're going to be honest, if you are serving in certain ways and for certain motives, you're really not loving your neighbor. Who are you loving? I mean, go back to my valet illustration. So here's a guy. He's got, you know, a beautiful car, wealthy clothes. It's very evident. I'm going to be super nice to him. I'm going to offer him all kinds of things that I didn't offer to the guy in a truck. Why? Because I know that this guy has what? He's got a pocket full of money. And I'm hoping that if I give him the kind of attention that he craves and deserves, that some of that money will come out of his pocket and go into mine. Now, maybe for you it's not money. Maybe it's influence. Maybe it's significance. Maybe it's recognition. I'm going to hang with these people because they are and they have and they do and I want. And Jesus says, And James confers, when you do this, you are not loving your neighbor. You are loving you. You are not serving like Jesus served. You are serving the way the world serves. This is a very worldly way to serve. And when you sin in this way, you actually break the whole law. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees would compartmentalize the law into 613 parts. And they had a very complex way of weighting all of those 613 parts. And some of the parts, if you broke, well, okay, you broke that part. We'll take care of that. But you haven't really broke the big parts of the law. And James is exploding that thinking in our mind. He's saying, look, if you think it's okay and that maybe partiality is just a little problem, but you're not guilty of the big problems like adultery and murder, you don't get it. Because this isn't a divided up law. This is a unified law that expresses the unified will of one lawgiver. Think of it this way. If I had a pane of glass up here, and I were talking away, and you had a slingshot, and while I was talking, you got distracted. You thought, you know, I wonder if this slingshot is working. And you pulled out your slingshot, and you know, foolishly, you put a piece of a rock in there or something, and you let it fly, and it hit the corner of the glass. And it just shattered the corner of the glass. You know what you just did? You broke the glass. No, 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 I didn't break the glass. I just broke the corner. No, no, no. You broke the glass. That's what James is saying. I didn't break the law. I just showed partiality. No, no, no. You broke the law. Well, I just broke a little. No, no, no. You broke the whole thing. And when you break the law, you get judgment. That's what you get. But you know what you want? You want mercy. And that's the final thing we see in this text. That's the grace-based solution in verses 12 to 13. James says, speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law. And then he puts the word liberty there. Wait a minute. How did the law that could only bring sin and death all of a sudden become a law of liberty? And the answer is somebody fulfilled it for you. There was a time, just to close this out, where you and I were the ones that showed up in God's assembly room, and we were covered with filth. Isaiah said all of our garments are what? Filthy rags. And God would have been in his rights to say, take that filth out. But that's not what he did. He said, bring that person here. And I didn't get, and you didn't get relegated to some corner back in the back dark places where nobody could see. We were brought to the very best seat in the house. We came to the mercy seat. And when we were standing there, the judge, the lawgiver, stood up and said, I want you to take those garments off, and I want you to put these garments on. And he clothed us with the unimaginable, brilliant white robe that represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then he gave us a crown, and then he seated us right next to him and right next to his son, and he made us ruler heirs of the kingdom that is coming. And then he said to us, mercy triumphs over judgment. And then we go down in our little kingdoms and in our little churches, and somebody comes in, and instead of doing that, we are like, go stand in the corner over there, don't make a mess. And oh, hey, you know what? This you're going to love it here. We're so glad you're here. And James says, that is awful. So what do I do? Well, I've got to acknowledge the roots of this. The roots of this are pride, evil cravings. I've got to deal with the fruit of this. The fruit of this is the arrogance that comes out, the demands that I make, the unwillingness to submit. These are all part of what James is going to deal with as we go through the book. And then I've got to just come to God and say, God, I need mercy. I need mercy. I was sitting at my desk this week thinking about this, and this was sitting on my desk because I was working on the kids' sermon or the kids' message. And I was talking to some of our pastors. We were on a phone call together, and there was a need that came up in our church that we had to address. So I'm sitting there. This is literally, I'm sitting at my desk. This is on the corner, so I can see it. And I'm in my chair, and I'm sort of like looking out the window, and this is in the corner. And so I'll not say who these pastors were, but one of these pastors is an amazing, we have amazing pastors, so I'm not singling this one out above the others. But for the sake of the story, this is a guy that you would never know had the kind of opportunities that come his way. I regularly get phone calls from people that are very well placed in the community or in other ministries wanting to know if this person can come or this. And you would never know that he never talks about these things. He never brings it up. But he's probably one of the busiest pastors on our team. And so we were talking together and this need came up and we were trying to figure out who could do this. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, he raises his hand and says, Pastor, I'll do it. You can't do it. You are too busy to do that. I mean, think about all of the key strategic things you're doing here. You can't do that. I can't add that to your plate. And he said to me, as only he can, very calmly, very kindly, very graciously, he said, Pastor, the people that will be impacted by this need to be served. I didn't get it. Hung up my phone. I thanked him, hung up my phone, and I'm working away, you know, getting this message together, thinking about what I'm going to say to the kids, and this is sitting there. And I'm not kidding you. This didn't happen, but it felt like it happened. It felt like God took his hand and slammed it down on my desk. You ever had somebody do that? They come and they slam their hand down on your desk and everything jumps. That's what it felt like. And I realized the sin of partiality is in our church at the highest levels in my heart. Remember I told you we need to make sure we let the Lord speak to us. This is in my heart. And one of the busiest men in our church who has opportunities way outside of our church that most of us would never even dream of was the instrument that God used to say, look, that is what should have come out of your mouth. That's what it should come out of you. And the reason it didn't come out of your mouth is it wasn't in your heart. And so, folks, this morning, I think we all need to come to a place where we look at our heart. Because the sin of partiality can be disguised in a lot of ways. And the Spirit of God is the only one who knows what's really going on in your heart. I don't know what's going on in your heart. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's heart, but you do know what God is doing in your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.